community. We looked at ourselves as a church, and despite the fact that we were older, didn't have a lot of energy, and it looked like, at least from a human standpoint, that we'd close, maybe merge. Father, we looked over this community, and we saw that the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly presented was not being presented. And Father, a group in this church you raised up that said, there's a mission in this community. There are people to be reached. There are children to be reached, and kids need Jesus Christ. No more excuses. No more, oh, woe is us. Instead, the gospel. 13 years ago, we brought a preacher from Appalachia together with this group of older people. And Father, in the last 13 years, through prayer and change and challenge and love and grace, you have this to be a place where the gospel is clearly presented, a place that goes out and presents the gospel in the streets, a place that reaches out to the children, the teenagers, the adults, a place that says, we have a mission, we have a purpose. And that is to present the gospel, the clear gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we know this work has just begun. You're not done. You've just begun it with us. And so, Father, we do ask in the name of Jesus today during this time of worship that we, yes, have the tears of sadness and parting, but just as Paul said to the community at Ephesus and so many other communities, it's not about the preacher. It's about Jesus Christ, Him crucified. It's about the gospel. It's about the reality of God's presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we see amidst our own tears, we have a beautiful, beautiful future ahead of presenting that clear gospel of Jesus Christ even deeper in this community. Deeper within our own families and amongst our friends. And so, Father, may this worship service revitalize our hearts, revitalize our souls, and may we leave here with a greater determination to get with you and to believe beyond ourselves, because thou art God. Father, send your Holy Spirit. May we experience you fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus saves. Number 495. That's what we're about to proclaim. Jesus Christ is Lord, not just in the church, in the community, in the world. Number 495. Let's sing it. What difference is Jesus making in your life? I look at Sheila on this right now because approximately 13 years ago, you coming from a UB background, and we started talking about giving the testimony, sharing the difference Jesus has made. And that was something that perhaps, you know, people of Nella Willison's generation, Helen Williamson, they were used to sharing the difference Jesus had made. And we as a church had kind of lost that a little bit. The invitation today is this: what difference is Jesus making, and how has this church helped? Think about that for a moment, and if you have something brief to share after we go through some of our joys and concerns, I invite you to share that. Again, the question: what difference is Jesus making in your life, and how has this church helped? I especially invite those who perhaps do not say something normally to say something that's on your heart. I mean, there's always those of us, myself included, who maybe are a little quicker to jump up and say, oh, I want to tell you this and I want to tell you that and all that, and that's fine. But, you know, can you kind of please hold off and let those who maybe aren't used to this share? Before we enter into that time, that's kind of to warm you up a little bit. Ways to pray for us, where we're headed, and ways to pray for us. We are headed to Community Church, which is a United Methodist congregation in Dayton, Ohio. It's a changing neighborhood. The church has approximately 90 on a Sunday. The average age, I would guess, would be about 75, 80 years old. And they have about two kids in their Sunday school. They have a youth group of about four. And my point is, it's a challenged place. And I do need your prayers. Without some of you saying, I feel that call to pray for Fritz and Claire as they enter that mission field, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. I'll be there a few years, agitate a few people, and I'll be gone. And that'll be it. With your prayers, there'll be a movement of God. So if you're feeling that call already, during our coffee hour out there, say, Fritz, I'm one of those ones, and I'm going to be with you in prayer. And, you know, let's keep in some contact. Now, this, again, is something that I really need you on. So please don't just let emotion dictate intent. You know, and if this is something that really is of the Lord, then talk to me about that. If not, that's okay. It's not your calling. That's the way you can help us the most right now. Now, the question, what is grace? Grace is when we've packed a U-Haul, I'm driving it, it's all ready to go, I pull it out of the driveway, swing over to Pam Tocker's yard to curve it in there, hit the curb, and take a slice out of Barb and Jerry's car. And but is that grace? You say, how's that grace? That's grace when, you know, Barb and Jerry treated the whole situation with grace. Because I said, that's it. I just sat down on the cot that was still up, and Claire was making the calls, and I just needed to kind of regather. And Barb comes over and puts her arm around me and basically says, Fritz, it's going to be okay. That's grace. That's grace. Yes, we did make it. I did not hit another vehicle. And I have to say thanks to Wesley another time, because I almost got one in the same way, clipped a car in the same way. But we made it. I'm not going to be a truck driver. And I can make jokes about what Down Under is about, is where you have to drive a truck. Someone like me has to drive a truck all day and all night. But anyway, enough of that. Joys and concerns before we go to testimonies. And I've already given you the question again: what difference is Jesus making, and how has this church helped and as part of that? But before we go to answering that question, as the Lord leads, before we do that, what are some of our joys and concerns today? People we need to pray about. Chapter 22. I'll give you a page number in a moment. It's worth looking at. These are the core verses about what we're to be about, according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Chapter 22, page 1535. Page 1535. Verse 34. Page 1535, Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I invite you to hear his response fresh, rather than say, yeah, I know already. That's a problem when we go to Scripture and say, yeah, I know that already. Hear these words fresh. Hear these words spoken to you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, right now, today, to you personally. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul and with all your mind. What is Jesus saying to you about your life, your mind, your soul, your heart? The Word of God says this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Again, hear these words spoken to you personally. Love your neighbor as yourself. As we know from God's word, neighbor includes the enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy. Also, the neighbor includes the stranger. Jesus said very clearly in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who was the neighbor, the man that served, the Samaritan who served, the person that was on the side of the road. Hear again the word of Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Let's join together in prayer. Keep your Bible open. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we hear afresh these words spoken to us by your Spirit. And Father, by that same Holy Spirit, show us the condition of our heart, the essence of who we are, our soul, and the condition of our thinking and our minds. Oh, Father, if we are self-absorbed with our thoughts, with our feelings, with our worldview centered around our selfish self, our comforts, our preferences, our desires, our fears, in which we say, I cannot, I will not, and we try to maintain a comfortable little delusion. Father, knock hard. Knock hard on our soul. Knock hard on our hearts. Knock hard on our minds and open us up. You're not a threat. You are our rescuer. May we open the door and let you into those places where we fearfully hide ourselves from thee. And Father, instead of the typical arrogant, which I can fall into so easily, mentality that says, I'm already loving my neighbor as myself. I know the second commandment. I've memorized it. I memorized it when I was 5 years old. No. No. Father, show us the neighbors, the people that we have a contempt towards in our hearts. Father, show us the neighbors that we don't even see. Father, show us the neighbors when it comes to those who are hungry and thirsty, in prison, sick. The neighbors, those who are homeless and naked. Father, show us the neighbors, and may we see what thou shows us. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you pour your love deep inside of us so that we do not close off as we start to see what you're showing us, that we do not close off ourselves, but rather that by thy Holy Spirit we see, we believe, and we go beyond our self-absorbed selves. Oh, Father, by thy love, lead us. By thy love, fill us. By thy love, may we see and believe. In Jesus' name, Amen. Matthew chapter 28, page 1550. You talk about a bunch of guys, and by extension, gals, who felt ill-equipped to do what Jesus is about to command them to do. You certainly have those guys, and by extension, those gals, represented right here when Jesus spoke these words. So if you feel inadequate, amen. Do not allow your inadequacy, feelings of inadequacy, to stop you from seeing, from believing, and from going. Do not, because God is greater. God is greater. Here it is. Hear these words. Hear these words afresh, spoken to you personal. To you personal. All authority, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So, time out. Your fears, why do you give your fears such authority? Your desires, why do you give your desires such authority and make them idols? Your preferences, your comforts, why do you give those things such authority? He says it right here, all authority rests in him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, say it together, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And what's his promise at the end of verse 20? He is with you always. He's been given all authority. And he's with you always. And he's given you that Holy Spirit as part of the precious promises attached to his life, death, and resurrection. You have what you need to see beyond, to believe beyond, and to go beyond. So what's stopping you? Why are you stuck? Why do you give such authority to your fears, your desires, your comforts, your preferences? They have no authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he loves you. He's got what it takes for you to live your life rightly, fully, meaningfully, eternally. Let's join together in prayer. Father, the greatest commandments are preceded by thy great love, for you loved us when we were still sinners. Father, it's made so clear in your word that your love is the first principle. We can only love you because you first loved us. And so, Father, may we feel thy love for us. In return, O Lord, kindle in us a new fire of love for thee. And Father, kindle in us a new fire for those neighbors that we typically don't see or hold contempt towards, that we renounce the contempt, confess it, that we start to see and believe and go. And Father, as part of that going, that we do start that stepping out, making disciples of all kinds of people just because we're experiencing your love, spending time with you, being loved, loving you in return, and letting you lead us, letting you empower us, and going beyond, and going beyond. And Father, we're going to believe that as we do this together, a great fire will continue to flame in this church, and many souls, many people will be reached that have previously been locked up in a dark, dank, little place. We believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Two testimonies, final song, and we'll go to the hall if you're willing. many people have deeply touched my heart here at this church, and your hearts too. Nella Willison. When I first came here, in a community that, you know, at least didn't have a real sharp gospel, I sat down with Nella Willison. Met a lady who knew who Jesus is. Biblically, personally. A lady who knew that people needed Jesus and was praying for her neighbors. Not just to come to church, but to come to Christ. She didn't want just people for the institution. She wanted people to know Jesus. A lady who really had a heart for this community, knew who Jesus is, and was praying for people to receive Jesus and for a church to get kindled in fire to reach them. One of the stories I had told when I first came, and it stuck with her because she brought it up over the years, was about if we were running the donut shop and we didn't produce donuts anymore, and we all would get together and sit in the same seats and talk with the same people, and you know, we're running a donut shop and the place is, you know, looking okay generally, but we're not doing donuts anymore. And then someone comes in and says, I see it says donut shop on the outside and I'm here to have some donuts, and we all say, well, we don't have any donuts anymore, but we have a nice place for you to sit. You can sit here next to me. And the person says, I'm here to have some donuts. Well, we don't produce donuts anymore. She remembered that story. She understood that story. That can be the church, where we don't produce any donuts anymore because we don't focus on the Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and making disciples anymore. She did. May we continue to. Second person, Scott Danner. Barely say his name without crying. Still can't. A man who taught us that a guy that is steeped in drugs, alcohol, and horrible military experience in Vietnam as a ranger, a man by the grace of Jesus Christ can overcome, come to stability and grace. A man who served our middle schoolers and high schoolers when he was so sick that he had to crawl in the van, and he would still crawl in the van because that was his mission. What mattered more to Scott Danner were those kids and ministering to those kids. No excuses. Many of you served him. You took him to the hospital. You took him to the doctor. You saw his strength, his joy, his humor. He taught us that men don't have to hide out when they get sick. Men don't have to be ashamed when they have to use a walker. A man can use a walker. A man can use a cane. A man can be sick, and a man can be a Jesus man, strong in Christ. Scott Danner taught us. Christ taught us through him. Nella Willison, Scott Danner. You've got the model of what it means to be a Jesus woman and a Jesus man. Put it into action by the Holy Spirit. Let's join together in a final prayer and we'll sing. Father,